local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel and National Talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour, along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute, and when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
When I saw this short, fat guy stretch a band between his toes, hey, I laughed so hard, cause the band got down when it finally reached his nose.
Hey, y'all, prepare yourself for the rubber band.
Whoa, whoa.
Band. You never heard a sound like the rubber band.
Man,
you're bound to lose control when the rubber band starts to jam.
Got that rubber band.
I also would like to point out that I think the state board has really approached the situation with a good balance of urgency and grace, considering the challenging year we had in 2020.
Senior Chancellor Miller said earlier that this board has expressed a balance of urgency and grace. And I just want to say, as far as I'm concerned, we're done with grace.
Oh.
So we've got to get this done.
Yeah, so Paul Fatsko, the chairman of the Escambia County School Board, and Superintendent Tim Smith went to the State Board of Education to give an update on the, failure to close the Warrington Middle School or get it into charter hands to do something with Warrington Middle School for 11 years that it has been a failing school, and the State Board is fed up with us. Absolutely fed up with us. You could hear it there in Esther Bird, who says, yeah, we're done with grace. You need to do this, period. End of story. I mean, I knew what they had decided, but I wanted to watch it for myself because I thought, I don't think I'm getting the tone of all this from, you know, reading like the P&J account. And sure enough, I watch the thing. I'm like, oh, wow. So first of all, you had, you know, Tim Smith gets up there and kind of explains how this has all evolved over the course of time. And you know, the deal has not been what they wanted, but they recognize that, you know, we've got to keep this school open. We've got to hold the choice or the districting, the zoning for that school, the 1,200 students that are zoned for that school, of which only 600 actually attend Warrington Middle, because half of the students zoned for Warrington Middle have opted for somewhere else, which should tell you something about the school that's been failing now since 2012. And that, you know, the terms of the deal that Charter Schools USA is offering do not make the school board happy. Okay, but, you know, it's their bad deal or close it. You know, those are kind of your choices. And if you close it and you send these 600 students elsewhere, students who are, and look, it's not those kids' fault, okay, that they are in this situation. That's the key thing. It's not the kids' fault. The adults are the ones who are supposed to fix these problems. But if you put DNF students, 600 of them, in the other middle schools they would go to, guess what happens to those schools who are already, you know, not doing great? I think, if I remember correctly, of the three, I think one is a D, one's a C, one's a B. I'm going on memory, but I know the cascade effect would be terrible. Those schools would become problem schools into turnaround. And in fact, I think in one of the, I think if I remember correctly, the one that's a D, you can't put them there. So it'd be the other two. So you'd take a B and a C. Again, I'm going on memory, but if you take a B and a C and you put 600 DF students in there, right? This is bad. And yet, the Escambia County School Board and the superintendent are just dragging their feet and whining about how this deal isn't what they want it to be. And the state board is like, what's your alternative? Get it done. Get it done before it gets worse. So in this conversation, okay, you had Manny Diaz, the commissioner of education, formerly in the legislature.
Thank you, Superintendent. Commissioner, did you have a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to contain the level of frustration that I have right now, because this is, when we get down to all these conversations that are adult conversations, are a bit frustrating to me personally. This school has been failing students for more than a decade, and it's inexcusable that we're still having adult problem conversations and not focusing on students.
Do your job.
But the problem there is that our other option here for this board is to close this school. And I think I have sensed the same frustration from members on this board. And I think we're getting to the point where if the school closes, there's going to be no choice but to bus these students. There's no reconfiguration option here. I just want to be clear for the record.
Right. There's not really an all, you know, there's no other option if you close the school. Okay. And by the way, one of the things that the school board is annoyed about is that the most recent proposal from Charter Schools USA is to only hold the zone for 3 years and then turn it into a, you know, like a K-12, a progressively developing into a K-12, but wouldn't be zoned. It'd be a choice, you know, it'd be a charter school. And they're like, well, that's no good for us. Again, what's your option? you ever find yourself in a negotiation where you have no leverage at all? Well, that's where the school district is. Their only option is to say no to Charter Schools USA and to close the school, which is not an option.
As far as the agreement or not agreement, I am floored the level of frustration. And I have had this conversation with Senator Broxson, who has gone above and beyond to try to keep this school open, to try to provide for these students.
Everybody has been trying to get the school board and the superintendent to get off nothing and do something.
There are partners in the area, including the state college president, who has come forward and attended these meetings.
Ed Meadows.
You have Senator, who's the appropriations chair of the Florida Senate, who is all in on trying to solve this issue.
One of the most powerful senators right now.
And I apologize, Mr. Chair, but all I hear is excuses, and I can't reconcile that with 10 years of failure to these students, and that all we have is excuses from adults at this point.
Multiple base commanders, because we're concerned about the impact on having poor education in the community on potentially, you know, people coming here and changing station, or BRAC considerations, which is certainly the kind of thing we always have to be thinking about. There's more to this I get to in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns, not yet. It looks like 98 is accident-free, not showing any problems there either on that side or at Navarre side, rather, or Lillian, not now. Hickory Hammock and Old Hickory Hammock and Milton showing an accident but not a roadblock. And then Beulah and 9 Mile showing an accident but not a roadblock either. Caution wherever you are, and certainly if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So basically, Tim Smith, the superintendent, is like, we want to do something. We're willing to do it. You know, and Paul Fetzko's like, well, every time we compromise, the deal gets worse. Maybe we need your help in negotiating it. You know, and the sticking point seems to be getting rid of the attendance zone.
We need to know what's happening with our students. I need to know for the parents that I represent who elected me to be able to say, yes, your child is going to be well cared for, well educated. You can expect your child to achieve. And that's the only thing that comes out of anything like a charter contract.
So that's Paul Fetzko, the board chair right now. And the response from Esther Byrd on the board?
You said that you needed to be able to tell those parents that their children were going to be cared for and they were going to be to accomplish what they were going to learn. But can you currently say that? Can you currently say to the parents of the children at Warrington Middle School that they're succeeding and that they're being taught? Because these numbers don't say that that's currently the case. So I don't see how another option could be worse than what we have right now.
Oh, my God. Like, I have never heard such a public spanking by an administrative board to a local government organization like this. This is like I feel like I can't describe it without using mild profanity. You know, like they got their blanks whooped by the board, you know? And said, do your jobs. Get the charter school in place and stop complaining about how this isn't a good enough deal. You don't have choices here. Do it. And he's like, well, I've got obligations to my, you know, this is Paul Fetzko. I've got obligations to my, the people who elected me to make sure their kids are getting taken care of. And she's like, is that happening now? That's not happening now. You think it's worse? Nothing could be worse. Like, no deal you're going to enter into is going to be worse than 11 years of this. So, yeah, let's just say it was a stern talking to. They got sent to the principal's office and, you know, put on basically, I guess, probation. I mean, I don't know what recourse the school board has at the state level, what the Board of Education has. But if the school board and the superintendent don't get this deal done, here's my feel, okay? This is me talking, not the evidence talking. I got the feel like they were on the verge of, I'll be honest with you, if we could remove y'all from office, we would. Because this is crazy. There's no other school in the state that has been failing this badly this long. Period. It's the worst school in the state from that perspective. 619 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory to our truck to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Get your finances in order and become financially free with Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 after Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What was that?
I don't know. I was too busy talking a big nose.
I think it was blessed are the cheesemakers.
What's so special about the cheesemakers?
Well, obviously, it's not meant to be taken literally. It refers to any manufacturers of dairy products.
Dale! Dale! Daylight come and me want go home. Daylight come and me want go home. Work all night and I drink a rum.
Hey. Oh man, it just this hit me hard yesterday when the news came out that Harry Belafonte has passed away at the age of 96. My goodness, I don't know. I was talking to my wife about this. My wife is about 5 years younger than I am, and so she knows, you know, different music than I know, and you know, she wasn't necessarily raised on the same things I was raised on, but this was, you know, and I was trying to tell her like what songs would you know, and I'm like, you know, Matilda. I mean, she knows the Banana Boat song, obviously.
Sure.
But she, you know, she knows Beetlejuice.
Right. You know, right. Everybody knows it from Beetlejuice.
And
yeah.
For me, I'm like, one of the, you know, double albums that I grew up listening to as my mom's album was Harry Belafonte Live at Carnegie Hall. And for those of you who haven't heard it, it's, you know, it's fantastic music. Not just the music stuff, which is great.
Well, John Henry had a little woman, and the name was Polly Ann. She walked down the track, never looked back. Polly Ann drove steel like a man, Lord, Lord. Polly Ann drove steel like a man.
So good.
When them cotton balls get rotten, you can't pick very much cotton in the land. But cotton feels at home.
So good. But so what's great about that particular album, though, is it's a concert in which he's talking to the audience and telling stories. And so for me, and look, I didn't know Harry Belafonte as a civil rights activist, good friend of Martin Luther King Jr., you know, and all of these people who have come out and talked about him and his significance to the movement and all. That wasn't the Harry Belafonte that I knew, only because, again, I grew up, you know, this kind of one slice of who he was. But that one slice was such a delightful person.
In American folklore,
We find a great deal of the European influence of music. And oftentimes I've wondered what would happen if songs, which are truly indigenous to America, had in fact gotten their start somewhere else. To illustrate the point, we've chosen as our theme, When the Saints Go Marching In. Now, if this had originated in England, it could have sounded like an old English madrigal.
I love that laugh.
Hey, when the saints go marching in, hey, when the saints go marching in, oh, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, good show, good show.
That's the Harry Belafonte that I grew up listening to. And I just wanted to share some of this with you. And you could hear it. It's actually from my mom's old LP. Mm-hmm. I'd recorded this with the clicks and hisses and pops in it,
that's
you know?
So cool.
But it wasn't meant to be a madrigal. It's meant to be exactly what it was. An historical opportunity for a group of Negro musicians down in New Orleans to play and to celebrate on some festive occasion. And at the time that this song came about, what could have been more festive during that period than a funeral? Oh, when the saints go marching in. Yes, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in.
I could just listen to the whole thing. It's just like that. It's so, and so like I said, you know, I know he's getting a lot of accolades for his, you know, work on the civil rights movement. But to me, he was just a cultural phenomenon. Just this unbelievably skilled musician, you know, just entertainer, comedian, thoughtful, just all of that. So, yeah, we miss people because they meant something to us. 627 News Radio 92.3, Harry Belafonte, dead at the age of 96. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And it looks like not showing any slowdowns right now. I'm taking a look in Milton. Hickory Hammock and Old Hickory Hammock showing an accident, but no slowdown. Beulah 9 Mile showing an accident as well. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There's some more details now about the mass shooting in Dadeville, Alabama that killed four people at a Sweet 16 party earlier this month. Court testimony yesterday showing 89 shell casings were found at that scene. A law enforcement official said 50 to 60 people were inside that dance hall when the shooting happened and more than 30 people were hurt. Of course, six people have been charged. Three TSA agents were hurt after being attacked by a woman that was being screened for a flight yesterday. Officials say the woman suddenly began what they're calling a, quote, unprovoked and brazen physical attack against the TSA agents. Police don't know what led to that outburst. And Israel celebrating its 75th anniversary, the observance based on the date on the Hebrew calendar when the country's founders signed its Declaration of Independence.
Thanks so much, David. 628 News Radio 92.3. Remember yesterday we were talking about how the state standards for getting your diploma, your high school diploma, have gotten a little bit harder because as the alternative for the 10th grade Florida Standards Assessment for English Language Arts and Algebra 1 End of Course Assessment, you can take like SAT, you know, you can pass out of it with the ACT or the SAT as an alternative. And the SAT score has actually gone up that you need from out of an 800, a 430 to a 480. And for the ACT, it's an 18 for both reading and English, as opposed to before a student needed a 19 in reading. And I had said, look, it's about 10% in several districts around the state where because of this increase, they're not going to graduate. Like an 80% graduation rate goes to a 70% graduation rate because students who got a 440 or a 450 but did not get a 480, right? That's kind of the idea. Well, I was curious about how it is in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, and so I asked yesterday both of our boards what the situation was. Here's what I found out. In Escambia County, there's 2,104 high school seniors, okay? That's the total graduating class, of which 467 are not going to graduate right now. So that's like not quite 75% right. That's not good as a graduation rate. But of course, COVID is a big deal here. 115 of those would graduate. So 115 out of the 467 who won't would graduate if the threshold was back to its old standard of 430. They won't graduate with the 480. I asked for the numbers in Santa Rosa County, and the numbers here, sorry, I'm having to scroll on my phone to where it is, but 32 high school seniors will not graduate. There's 103 who won't graduate on eligible right now. 32 would if the scores were lower to their old out of 3,000 seniors. What's interesting to me as well, though, is that Santa Rosa says they've already rolled this back as of Friday. Escambia wasn't aware that that had happened, or at least it wasn't communicated to me that they were aware that that happened. So this might already be moot, but it's a big deal for a lot of students.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. The Pentagon confirms the mastermind of a suicide bombing that killed 13 American troops in Afghanistan is dead.
The suicide attack happened at Kabul airport in August 2021. People were crowding at an entranceway trying to flee Afghanistan as the Taliban took back control. U.S. officials say the mastermind behind the bombing is now dead, killed by the Taliban earlier this month.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. Chief Justice Roberts says respectfully no thank you to Democrats' invitation to testify in the Senate about Supreme Court ethics.
The Judiciary Committee is seeking answers to ethics questions relating to Justice Clarence Thomas' acceptance of trips and other perks without declaring them. Chairman Dick Durbin responded saying a scheduled May 2nd hearing will be held and court ethics reform will happen whether the court participates or not.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 67. It is mostly cloudy here in Pensacola this morning. Well, you won't be seeing the American Magic sailing team on Pensacola Bay for a little while now. They're off to train in Barcelona for the America's Cup for just over a year. The team was sent off last night at an event downtown.
Personally, we have another 16 months really to prepare for the competition in October. And both Tom and Goody are experienced competitors. They have gold medals. They have world championships. And so these guys have, they certainly have the credibility to take the team to the next level. And, you know, I think over the time we have to develop those skills like anybody. It'll take the entire team to get this thing across the finish line in a successful fashion.
That's American Magic skipper Terry Hutchinson. He tells Channel 3 they'll be training in Barcelona, where their first goal is to get used to the different sea conditions. A young child had to be airlifted to a hospital after falling from a second-floor window in Navarre yesterday. That happened at a home on Majestic Boulevard. Santa Rosa County officials say the child may have suffered a shoulder fracture. The child fell from a window that was about 18 feet off the ground. The faith-based coalition Just Pensacola plans on attending Thursday's Pensacola City Council meeting to continue their calls for action on the city's affordable housing crisis. During their meeting Monday, they suggested the city should establish a trust fund that would set aside $4.2 million each year for 10 years for the cause.
To hamper our ability to operate the city by taking a significant portion of the general fund in which to have set aside is not the most nimble use of dollars. It's very, very rigid.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there, he says, while he agrees philosophically with the group, he believes he disagrees tactically. And he says their proposal does not take into consideration things like grant dollars or Senate Bill 102, the $711 million bill that would incentivize developers of affordable housing around the state. Governor Ron DeSantis says he's trying to bring more foreign investment to the state here in Florida. He met yesterday in Tokyo with 80 executives from some of the biggest companies in Japan. The governor says he's discussed why they should expand their businesses here into Florida. He says Florida's already home to over 200 Japanese firms that invest billions into our economy right now. Hundreds of drag queens from around the state were in Tallahassee yesterday. They were rallying against the Protection of Children bill that bans live adult performances if kids are in the audience.
And no matter what comes out of Tallahassee, whatever legislation or law, drag will continue. We will continue to perform. We will continue to uplift our bar owners, and we will move forward.
That's rally organizer Darcell Stevens, and he says that it's not the first time they've been in that type of fight, and says it won't be the last. Any venue that violates that law could lose their license. It is 6:34. News Radio 92.3. And Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. And Executive Landscaping, big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. 250-3756 for no hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. No delays on Burgess or Olive. Davis Highway is clear from the I-10 overpass through Creighton, Brent, and Fairfield right now. If you have traffic tips, text them in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing some showers possible today with a 20% chance of rain. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms throughout the afternoon and evening on Thursday. 80% chance of rain overall, high near 78. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is partly cloudy, 67 in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, 62 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. What specifically got Fox News evening host Tucker Carlson fired? The Wall Street Journal says it was Carlson's famously combative stance and vulgar commentary directed toward members of Fox News management and other colleagues. Private messages disclosed in the Dominion Voting Systems case showed Carlson's disregard for Fox management. Although many portions of the Dominion court documents are redacted, there was concern among Fox executives that if the redacted material were to become public, it would lead to further embarrassment for the network and parent company. The Journal says in one instance, Carlson called a senior Fox News executive the C word. Union Pacific says it's considering slowing down the pace of hiring in the second half of the year amid a cloudy economic outlook, becoming the latest company to evaluate its staffing plans. Union Pacific says the outlook is turning a little cloudier for consumer-facing companies, which is making railroad volume difficult to predict. On Wall Street, futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
If you own a small to medium-sized business that kept employees on payroll through COVID, you may have a big cash refund waiting for you. The Employee Retention Credit is a tax credit of up to $26,000 per employee. And now, more businesses than ever qualify. The experts at RefundsPro.com specialize in cutting through the red tape of qualifying for this government program. Most of their refunds are over $100,000. Even businesses that have received PPP funds may be eligible. And there are absolutely no fees unless you receive a refund, so there's no reason not to apply. If your business experienced shutdowns, limited capacity, supply chain challenges, or reduced revenue due to COVID, you likely qualify. RefundsPro.com has already helped hundreds of businesses, so don't lose the refund you're owed by missing the deadline. Get started today with a free 5-minute questionnaire at RefundsPro.com. That's Refunds with an S, Pro.com.
It's Fiesta time, and there's a lot going on with Fiesta Pensacola. Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel to hear about all the events coming up with the Pensacola Crawfish Festival this weekend downtown at Seville Square in Fountain Park. Get ready to get your Cajun on with Fiesta Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Hey Pensacola, News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 6:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We're starting a new interview, regular interview with J. Bruce Woody, the executive director of ECUA, because it actually occurred to Natalie Bowers. Give her credit to this. She's the one who said, you know, Andrew, I know you talk with a lot of folks when they have their meetings and what happened, and would you like to have the executive director on when we have Urban? He's like, yeah, absolutely, of course. So, and, you know, we've got a good relationship with Bruce to begin with, but we're going to be doing this every month right after their meeting to give you a recap of what happened. Bruce Woody, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So I have some stuff I definitely want to ask you about that I don't think did anything in the meeting yesterday. We'll get to that in a minute. One of the things that happened yesterday is you guys talked about you're going to have a well groundbreaking honoring ceremony next, is it Thursday the 4th, Star Wars Day?
That is correct. On Thursday, May 4th at 10:30 a.m. over 1313 Gonzales, we'll have a groundbreaking ceremony to kick off a $11.4 million investment by the ECUA at that location to construct a new well, new treatment facility, and we're replacing an elevated water tank with a much larger ground storage tank at that location. And we're going to honor Mr. Elvin McCorvey, a longtime public servant from District 3, who served ECUA and its constituents for 22 years in that district, and we're going to name that well after Mr. McCorvey.
Is that that's really cool. I like that. Is that a new, like, we're transitioning from towers to ground-based? I'm not familiar with this, so that's why I'm asking. Or do the towers still have a place? Is that something we still have a real need for?
Towers, locations where we store water, serve two different purposes. One is to provide extra volume in the system for fire protection when there's an immediate and sudden demand for water.
Okay.
And it also helps establish pressure in zones in the area. More modern techniques really do that through valves and pumps as opposed to towers, so they're a little less necessary to do it by way of tower. More importantly here, this tower is 500,000 gallons, and the ground storage tank we're going to replace it with will be 3 million gallons, much larger reservoir.
Okay, and the tower is going to come down eventually?
Yes. In fact, one of the actions the board took yesterday was to award a contract to begin that work here in the next 30 days.
Oh, okay. Well, I would assume the residents in the area, you know, typically a water tower is, it can be a beautiful thing like the one on I-110, or it could just be that thing that's always in our way when we're looking at the sky. So, all right, kind of interesting. I didn't know all that. That's interesting to me. You've also got some changes to the bulk waste collection program starting July 1st.
Yes, we have a responsibility to be as efficient as we can. Right now, we travel each route in the residential areas four times, one to pick up trash, one for recycling, one for bulk waste, one for yard waste. The amount of bulk waste we pick up is so small in comparison with the others, it really isn't an efficient way to provide bulk waste service. So beginning July 1st, we're going to switch over to a bulk waste system, much like the city of Pensacola has, where you call in and schedule appointments. As long as you call before 2 p.m. The day before your regular pickup day, we will schedule a bulk waste pickup on that day. We also encourage you, if you have small items, countertop appliances, things like that, frankly, those we prefer, you go ahead and put in the trash can if they'll fit.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Yeah, which makes sense, especially in the, at least it has been for the last several years, scarce employee environment, trying to find people to drive the trucks. But even if you had an abundance of employees, you know, sending the trucks out for only a few pickups is bad for the roads, bad for the trucks, you know, and a waste of human labor in addition to everything else. Speaking of that, how is, just for the driver's side, it seems like it's been, you know, years and years, certainly since COVID at least, and maybe going back before that, that everybody is scarce on drivers for CDL. Is that still the case for ECUA?
That challenge has been mitigated somewhat. We've raised rates for our rates of pay for our staff. And we've had some pretty strong programs to try to hire. Right now, we are fully staffed. We have, you know, small turnover that everybody has in our organization periodically. But right now, we're not in the position that we had been in the past. Our challenge right now is technical staff. We're still looking for a couple engineering positions, a couple IT positions, and folks for mechanical skills, either for maintenance of diesel or CNG engines or mechanical repair for things like our wastewater pump stations. Those folks are kind of hard to find.
Okay, and that leads me to the question I wanted to ask you about. Actually, hang on for just a second. We're talking to Bruce Woody, the ECWA Executive Director. Before I ask you, let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns. It looks like we're all good. 98 clear from Navarre right now into Gulf Breeze into Pensacola. 3 Mile Bridge, General Chappie James Bridge, that is. Not showing any delays. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Bruce Woody from ECUA. Bruce, the staffing is the reason that you guys gave for having to temporarily say that you're not collecting basically homes recycling, that you can only take source-sorted cardboard and nothing else. What's going on with the recycling facility? It feels like, okay, I'm just telling you as a citizen, it feels like we just can never get this right. It's open, it's closed, there's a fire, there's a problem with the machine. Keep recycling, don't keep recycling. That's kind of how it feels to me as a consumer. You tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I understand the frustration. It has been on again, off again. It started with the long closure after Sally, and then we had a fire the very following year. And the current downtime is a staffing issue. We've changed all of our maintenance folks over to another division in order to help supply that end of the shortage. But we still, we recently lost a couple mid-level supervisors, so we're having to do some retraining and promoting within the system in order to get up and running. So we're still receiving source-separated materials such as bulk waste, cardboard, and things like that. But our mixed recycling pickup, the curb, that unfortunately is pretty highly contaminated, has run through the machine. And that right now, we're still in the middle of some training, so we're not operating for probably at least another week.
Okay, so, and I know you've said before, and I'll repeat the message, that keep separating your recyclables because you stay in the habit, and it'll be back operational as soon as we can, like you said, maybe in a week or so. But the right now fact is that you might put the cans and the bottles and the plastic and the cardboard all together in your recycling bin, and that's all just going to the landfill at the moment, because of that shortage of maintainers, basically, that you've had to shift over to other areas because you're kind of short on those workers at the moment. But again, that's kind of something that you're going to get fixed over the near term. If I have all that basically correct?
That's a good summary. Thank you, Andrew.
Perfect. All right. The other things I wanted to ask you about, one was 9 Mile, the well there over by Navy Federal and Nature Trail, went offline for a little bit, 2 weeks ago, two or maybe 3 weeks ago now, I forget. It was on a Monday, and the question that I had was, it was Monday when it went off, and for cleaning, okay, which is good, but then when it came back on, as my understanding, and again, you correct me if I got any of this wrong, the pH was low, very low. There was some reports of, I don't know, Navy Federal, you know, they had to shut off some of their water at a point. Then the following night, you got a boil notice given to Nature Trail. People were very concerned about all this. I asked Natalie Bowers kind of, well, what was going on? I didn't understand what would drop the pH so dramatically, you know, and then I heard the words food grade muriatic acid to clean off these filters. I say muriatic acid scares me. So help me understand what happened, why the delay in the boil order, and how concerned should we be about the water quality during that day and a half, 2 days?
First off, shouldn't be worried about the water quality. The incidence was that every two or three times a year, we have 31 wells altogether, and two or three times a year, we will take two or three of those wells out of service and do a complete cleaning of the well column and screens and replace any worn pump materials like impellers and such as that.
Sure.
That's a routine thing that we do. So it winds up being every 10 to 15 years an individual well will have that happen to it. 9 Mile well is our largest well. It pumps nearly 3,500, 4,000 GPM. That's twice the size of most of our other wells.
Yeah, gallons per minute, by the way. Go ahead. Huge.
Yes, gallons per minute. Yeah, so we just recently did that work. When we do that, we pull out the screen and the casing, and we do a mechanical cleaning with brushes. Then we flood it with chlorine to clean that material off, and then we use a muriatic acid that is NSF, National Sanitation Federation, food grade compliant, low pH material to do the final cleaning. And that's an industry standard process. When we brought it back online, as we do with all of our other wells, typically the pH is automatically adjusted by our equipment and comes up rapidly. What comes out of the well typically is about 5.5 pH,
okay.
And we increase that to about 7.2. The problem that we had because of the volume that was coming through, it was still low on the pH because of the acid bath that we had used.
How low was it?
Down in the threes.
Oh, okay.
It was down in the threes. For comparison, Coca-Cola and Pepsi that we drink every day usually runs about 2.6 to 2.7
okay.
pH.
And like is when it starts to be dangerous, right? I mean, like that's when you start to be concerned. It has to go very low for it to be a real concern, right?
Correct. In fact, pH is what we call a secondary standard. It isn't a primary health standard, such as bacteria is. Color, taste, and odor are secondary standards. So certainly not a product we like to provide. We ran it for just short of an hour, our staff did, and that was the error on our part. It wasn't coming up quickly enough to our 7.2 standard, so they shut it down, flushed it for several hours, and then brought it back online. But because it ran for a while, it put some bitter tasting water into the system, and that's what the complaints were about.
Okay, so nothing dangerous, lower than the ideal standards, still above what you say as a, you know, acidic level that you would find in Coke or something like that. It's gonna feel weird to people, but it's not gonna be a problem for them. Okay, that helps me put it all into context.
Yes.
I appreciate that. Last thing,
and certainly apologize for that.
No, that's helpful. And the last thing I wanted to ask you about is just, I know you probably can't comment a lot on this, but the one piece of reporting out of the lawsuit that Henry Holmes is bringing over, they say you told them that you had, that there was plenty of capacity for a subdivision. They then built the subdivision, and now there's not the capacity in the same way. The technical details of that, I'm not all that interested in. What I am interested in is the argument that ECUA, I'm quoting from the reporting, as a governmental entity has no legally enforceable duty to provide factually accurate information to a private entity such as Thomas Home Corporation. As an answer and a position, that sounds terrifying to me, that you don't feel, if this is right, that you have a legal obligation to provide reliable, accurate information. Help me understand this concept.
Yeah, let me answer that in two regards. First off, a couple important points about the case itself. Whenever a developer comes to us, we provide some information about the capacity we have at the wastewater treatment plant to serve the new additional development, and we provide some feedback regarding the local capacity around a pump station or a collection system. Thomas Holmes asked us about the capacity for 50 homes. We gave them a letter responding to that. They went away for a little over 2 years, came back, and then asked for capacity for 170 homes. We told them no. For two reasons, that's more than what you had originally asked for. Number two, in the time since you first asked, additional connections have been made in the same area, so the capacity has now been reduced.
Sure, that makes sense.
That's probably that's the main point of our issue. Our secondary, the issue you picked up on, that was kind of sensationalized by the reporter with Pensacola News Journal. He was picking up things that of course would grab people's attention. It's our attorney's responsibility to list in a lawsuit in defense any and everything available to us under the law. That is kind of a distasteful comment. I understand exactly where you're coming from, but since it is something that is available under state law for public entities, municipal, county, and otherwise, it was listed as an item.
Okay, so this is so your view is you're supposed to tell me the truth when I'm asking you questions, but as a legal matter under state law, when Thomas Holmes asks you a question about sewage capacity at that moment, there's no legally enforceable duty under statute for you to give them information which they can then rely on and sue you if it turns out to be false. That's the distinction we're getting at here. Do I have it basically right?
I think that's a fair way to say it. But there was also certain sovereign immunity.
Right. I understand those arguments too. Okay. As long as you all feel like you're morally obligated to tell me and the PNJ and Channel 3 the truth when we ask you questions, that's the thing I think that I find the most concerning about the way this appeared.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Very good.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, excellent. Well, thank you, Bruce. I know sometimes the questions aren't so easy, but that's I appreciate you being on the show. And we'll do this every month and, of course, anytime in between when there's important news. But, J. Bruce Woody, he is the executive director of ECUA. As always, thank you for the time. Thanks for picking up our trash and recycling our stuff when we can, and of course providing us safe drinking water. Bruce, I appreciate the work, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate this opportunity.
You bet. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. I have completely jacked up our whole schedule here, so let's go to Candy with traffic on the fives.
We're getting word that the train in Cantonment is blocking things right now near the mill. So caution there, and that's the only slowdown right now. Certainly, if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. For almost a decade, I've been telling you about my friends at Frontier Motors in Pensacola. The biggest reason is they help my listeners save thousands of dollars when purchasing a slightly used car over a brand new one. Consumer Reports says the average new car depreciates a whopping $9,200 in the first year alone. That's crazy. So if you're thinking new, don't. Go see Frontier Motors and see how much they can save you on a current year car with very low miles. And if your goal is to get out of debt, bring Frontier Motors your car and they can write you a check on the spot. Frontier Motors can also do consignments and they don't charge a fee or a commission. Frontier Motors have been helping the people in the Pensacola area for 21 years. They are the go-to dealer for free advice when it comes to buying or selling a car. Please go see my friends at Frontier Motors. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey sent you.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9, when Molly and Angela from the First City Arts Center will be on the show talking about Create a Sphere Summer Camp for school-aged children and teens with theme-based weeks. Also, their Hot Glass Cold Brew event coming up May 5th in their 17th annual Pumpkin Patch. That's all tomorrow at 9 with the First City Arts Center and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish is serving only the best Mississippi catfish and fresh Gulf seafood, as well as generous portions of delicious southern sides. Every Wednesday is Wacky Wednesday, featuring $5.99 lunch basket specials until 3 p.m. And get ready for Shrimp-tastic Thursday. They're serving fresh seafood daily at David's Catfish House. Visit them on Dogwood Drive in Milton or on New Warrington Road in Pensacola. Welcome to David's, where southern and seafood meet.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
National average for a gallon of gas, 364, 369 in Florida, 312 in Mississippi, 488 in California, east and west in Navarre, 329 at the Walmart East, 327 west in Midway, 321 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 339 in proper at the Exxon, 318 in Milton at the, let's see, at the CEFCO, same at the Pew Ridge Murphy, 329 through Pace into Pensacola on 9 Mile, the Walmart, 317, 318 at the Murphy at the Walmart on US 29, and 325 at the Shell on Cervantes. David, you got 10 seconds for your headlines. Just kidding, I wouldn't put you in that position. David Wayne will have all your local news coming up next in just a minute. And future news, my one question is, will Tucker Carlson run for president?
No.
No.
Listen on air at 92.3. 90-